All right, everybody, welcome to the Downtown Community Church podcast. I am your host, William Colley, and I'm with your lead pastor, Benjamin Kimfer. How's it going, man?
I'm fantastic, man. I think that we should call this Asking for a Friend, although no friends are asking. So is this an Asking for a Friend podcast or just a midweek update in the mid of global pandemic?
I feel like we're going to need to name it something because I feel like we're going to be doing a lot of these.
Agreed. Contagious. That's what we're going to call this.
Contagious, yeah. So, hey, thank you guys for tuning in. We wanted to send out a quick podcast, just some thoughts that we have, everything going on, and we are sensitive to how this is affecting COVID-19, coronavirus is affecting all of our lives, and just kind of wanted to give you some updates on how it's affecting us as a church, but also just encourage you guys as we're kind of all walking through this together. So first off, if you haven't seen yet, we will not be gathering in person this Sunday or the following Sunday, March 22nd or 29th, and we are not sure moving forward after that, but at least the next two Sundays we're not going to gather in person, but we will be gathering online, so we are joining the online church movement.
Oh, yeah. Get ready, tech people.
What was your tweet that you were joking about?
Oh, yeah, that pastors pre-corona were all, online church isn't real church. Online church is real church. And then, you know, mid-corona, it's, well, we're not going to gather together, but we're still going to be gathering online as a community of faith. We would love for you to join us. By the way, click give.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're a part of that crew now. So yep. We, after the latest CDC announcement, we were kind of left with no choice. So, but we really, you know, with the way technology is, we really think it's a great opportunity for us to gather as a church. So this Sunday, 10 o'clock, downtowncommunitychurch.com, we'll have a link up. Live stream of the service. There's a chat available. We're all going to be on there and just kind of coming together virtually.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how to get an opportunity to really leverage technology. You know, it's that innovation breeds, or necessity breeds innovation. And so I'm excited about how the church as a whole gathers together and, you know, we connect with one another in the digital space. We really want everybody to do it at 10 a.m. So it's going to be sweet for everybody to be streaming same time, you know, your living rooms and your places and spaces, wherever you are. For some of you, you're going to be at home, Jacksonville, Tampa, Atlanta, Colorado, I don't know, wherever you are. For some of us, you know, you're hanging out in Tallahassee. And so everybody connected in the same place. But one thing I did want to mention in this, in part of our decision to do it, to go online and not have in-person services, because it's a recommendation, right? It's not illegal. It's not banned yet. But at the same time, we acknowledge that our demographic of our church is not the typical demographic that's going to be the most impacted by what's going on. Mm-hmm. So though we are still allowed to meet, and even though we aren't the demographic that would probably be most brutally hit, for us, this was really an outer working of the mission of our church. And by that, I mean our mission, love God, make disciples, and be great neighbors. Well, one of the best ways that we can be great neighbors to the city and the world around us is by protecting our neighbors, right? Yeah. This isn't fearful. It's responsible of us to realize, though it might not affect us, because most people at our church are younger and have a, you know, decent sense of health right now, all that stuff going on, it for us is a way to really love our neighbors in a very responsible way by protecting them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we're going to do what we are being asked to do. So that's not gather in person. But we'd love for you to join us this Sunday, 10 o'clock. This Sunday and next Sunday, 10 o'clock, downtowncommunitychurch.com. We'll have a link. We'll be sending emails out and, you know, Instagram, Facebook. So make sure you're following us on there, too, just to kind of stay up to date. And also on the website, we're going to have an update of we have a link on there just updating of where things are at this point. You know, all of our events are canceled. Community groups are kind of up to the community group leaders. I know a majority of them are not meeting, at least at this moment.
Right. We're not banning it, but at the same time, we're saying, hey, if you do show up at a house with other people, be smart and wise about what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's just kind of where we're at, and that's kind of where our country's at. So, we get that. So, that's kind of housekeeping, where we're at as a church, what's going on. But we kind of wanted to talk about during this time, anxiety, stress. There's just kind of a lot of that. You know, a lot of people that already as a country deal with anxiety.
Yeah.
And you kind of shared this with me earlier that, statistics show that like stress and anxiety triples every generation or has been tripling every generation.
Yeah.
And then you add on top of that, like, you know, this pandemic that's going on and it's just getting worse. You know?
Yeah.
So I think this doesn't only just apply to the person that, is diagnosed with that, with anxiety, mm-hmm. But just the regular working class American.
Yeah, yeah. That's the statistic is that over the last century, anxiety and depression have tripled each generation in terms of the amount and the amount of it, the amount of clinical of it, and just the general population, how they feel it. And so you then, like you said, you add on to that already weighted backpack, if this is kind of like an analogy, right? It's like a backpack that you're walking around with, and everything gets heavier and heavier. And then all of a sudden, hey, by the way, here's this global pandemic that has the potential to really cause some damage to families, to health, to the economy, to people who are business owners, or people who are hourly wage earners. I mean, and it just kind of, it can be overwhelming at times. So we did want to talk a little bit about that because if you think about anxiety and stress, and we talked about a little bit of this in our mental health series, but if you think about anxiety and stress, most of it comes from uncertainty. And I think this this is a really fascinating thing. If I'm emotionally removing myself and just studying this, it is very fascinating because almost everything is uncertain right now, right? Yeah. Like sports that have been kind of in the backdrop of our lives. A lot of times for us, escapism is sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're at a standstill and there is no definitive end time. Everybody knows register sausage. Grocery stores are crazy right now. And that happens to us when a hurricane is going to hit.
Yeah.
But the problem is no one knows when this is going to end, how long this is going to last for, how long the kind of lockdown. Because at least with a hurricane, you know, there's certainty, man, this thing is supposed to hit Tuesday morning or Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
But with this whole pandemic, there's just this extraordinary level of uncertainty that I think at its core, we have never experienced this level of uncertainty. And uncertainty is important because stress that comes from uncertainty and anxiety is because at its core, again, a lack of control. Even if we don't like what the result is or the consequence is, if we know it, we can at least prepare for it. But a lot of this is just so wildly uncertain. It's so wildly unknown. We have a total lack of control because we long for control, right? This is the reason why most of us who you feel safer if you're driving a car than if you're flying in an airplane.
Yeah.
And the reason is, though statistically, you are far more likely to be injured in a car than you are in an airplane. In a car, you feel like you have a sense of control. Even if you're not driving, you're next to the person that's driving.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
see the person that's driving. Airplane, it's like, oh man, good luck. I'm way above the earth and I, you know, feel like I'm in this death tube, right? At 30,000 feet.
Yeah.
But it's that sense of certainty and control. And so in a pandemic like this, in a world that already has a high level of uncertainty, already has a high lack of control, to drop on top of this a total lack of uncertainty and control, it can just be overwhelming to anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a planner. I love planning my life out and knowing
what's
ahead.
This is true.
And yeah, I'm just kind of not knowing, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, you know? And like, you know, Jewel, like being a nurse, she, you know, she's texting me earlier, just kind of like, things are changing quick. I don't really know what's going on. And so I'm just kind of like, all right, well, am I going to be in lockdown with just the kids or what? Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
So yeah, I think for all of us, there's definitely that. So, biblically speaking, what do you, as Christians, as believers, what should be our approach to this?
Yeah, it's good. It's before I say that, let me qualify some thoughts around like the Bible and that, because I think what's oftentimes happens is say, hey, don't be anxious, don't be fearful. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and self-control and all this. And those things are true. But I think sometimes they can minimize the things that we have a tendency to be fearful and anxious about. So some of you are listening to this and the reality is somebody could tell you, well, this is what the Bible says about don't be anxious, but you are living paycheck to paycheck. You make wages, not off salary, but hourly. You don't know if your job is going to survive. You're trying to get hours whenever you can. And oh, by the way, your kids are out of school and you don't have the means to pay for a babysitter to watch them. Yep. You don't know what you're going to do with your kids. You don't know how the financial support around your family, how the bills are going to get paid. I mean, there's so many things that to simply say, oh, so don't be anxious. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Sweet. In fact, one of the things I love, Jesus obviously talks about this, and he says, he talks about not worrying. But at the end of his, if you ever read Matthew chapter 6, he has this kind of diatribe on worry in verses 25 through 34. And he ends it by saying, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I love that because he's not saying there is no trouble. Yeah. There is nothing to worry about. He's saying, bro, you're trying to worry about tomorrow? Man, there's a ton on today's plate before you even get to tomorrow. And so I think that's important, right? Because acknowledging the fact that this is valid. Like you're worrying, you're concerned in the uncertainty. It's not just this abstract concept. You are worried about real life implications of people you love, things that have consequence. And so the first thing I would say is number one, what you're feeling is very understandable. Number two is that everybody responds differently. So depending on your upbringing, depending on your stage of life, your age of life, and what this could cost you, it's totally different. So for me right now, there's not a big sense of worry because daycare is open and the grocery stores are packed right now. So Meat Company is doing fantastic. And church-wise, we have a lot of our giving. It's online. So like everything, though it's in a world and it's in a terrible condition, like all of those variables in me in my life, they're great. Now, somebody who's a small business owner of a restaurant, totally different situation, sure. Right? And so what's true for one person, how they respond isn't how everybody responds. And so people have a tendency to think, oh, well, this person's worrying too much. That person's not worrying enough. When really we just respond differently and we're all in different contexts. All of that to say is from a Bible perspective, I think it's the realization there are things to worry about. There is uncertainty, but my hope does not lie in the thing that I am uncertain about. My hope lies in Jesus. Now, that is an absolute battle to get there, but it's in a very important battle to engage in, not just say, well, I'm worried, right? It's the realization that the thing that I'm worried about, the thing that I'm anxious about, the thing that I'm fearful about, the consequence that I fear could happen, is a bigger driver mentally for me than submitting that thing to God and say, okay, God, I am going to choose to trust you even though I don't know what to do. That's what he was basically saying when he says, look at the birds of the air. They don't know what to sow or reap or put in barns, and your heavenly Father feeds them. You're much more valuable than they are, right? It's saying, okay, I know you're concerned about these things, but choose to trust that God loves you. And I think Jesus' death on the cross substantiates that for us.
Yeah, I love the way you put that. We have to engage in that battle.
Yeah,
because it's not engaging in it looks like, I believe that. You know, I believe that Jesus is bigger than all of this. I believe that he's going to take care of me. That I don't have to worry about that. You know.
Yeah.
But what would you say it looks like to engage? Or I say you say that, but then your actions don't really change, and you continue just to like freak out every day.
Right.
And worry even more and worry yourself to, being paralyzed. So for you, what would you say it looks like to be engaged in that battle to get us to a point where, man, I really believe this and my actions are showing it?
Yeah. So one, I would also say with this, that what's going to work for some people isn't going to work for other people.
Yeah.
This is stuff that I would say I've generally found to work well for me. So if it helps you, fantastic. And if not, you can probably Google it and find some good advice there. I would just acknowledge, again, everybody responds differently. So the fact that I have a lot of stress and anxiety about this and you don't, that's probably because of how we were raised in the skin and the game that we have. And so don't feel weird about the fact that you have less or more, just you are where you are. And so the second point would be that, would be simply to acknowledge when I'm feeling a lot of stress and anxiety. It's amazing how much power it has if we take the time to separate and actually acknowledge what we're feeling. A lot of times we feel it, We just don't ever acknowledge that we're feeling it.
Yeah, yeah.
We know that we're feeling it, but to take a step back and say, I am feeling stressed right now. Even just mentally separating, have the ability to identify that.
Yeah.
Simply identifying and acknowledging that, I think is a huge thing, because that helps me to now know what to do with it. I can't do something with something that I'm not acknowledging. Beyond that,
that's good.
Really important is taking that thought. I mean, the Bible talks about, let's take that thought and make it captive to Christ, right? Hold it in light of Jesus. Hold in light of what Jesus is, who he is, and saying, okay, God, I know that I am so stressed about this right now. And this could just be the simple prayer. I know I am so stressed about the fact that I don't know where my next paycheck is coming from, but I am going to choose to trust you anyway. Mm. I'm going to choose faith in this area. And though I might not feel it in my heart yet, like I'm choosing to trust you. And even if you have to say that out loud, if you have to write it down, whatever it is, take that thing, that core worry, concern, stressor, and say, I don't know how this is going to impact my elderly parents, but I am choosing to trust you in this. And man, beyond that, there's, I'd say one, or this is not one, this is like number five or six or whatever number we're on at this point, is staying grounded in the word and in prayer. Right.
Yeah, like with, I'd say that's number one.
Yeah, that's number one. It's not number one on my list, but but staying grounded in that, I mean, that really helps to center us. It's easy to get so caught up in everything that's going on. And so, you know, making sure that you're prioritizing your time with God and your time in prayer. None of these things in and of themselves are like the silver bullet, but they all kind of complement one another in that. And a really practical thing that I would say is don't be afraid to unplug. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be unaware of what's going on, but and on Saturday, we were in the middle of everything that's going on, and the news was changing every 30 minutes, it felt like, and what was happening. And I was sitting in the yard, or playing in the yard with Rhodes and with Ava, and Rhodes was swinging his little golf club and hitting some wiffle balls, and so I got my stand wedge out, and we were hitting it back and forth. And when you kind of tune out all the noise and unplug from everything, I think it really helps us to unwind. We can get so caught up in the news cycle that it and not that we don't want to pay attention again to what's going on and be wise about what we're doing, but there is definitely a point where I can become more stressed. I have all of the information that I need to know to wash my hands, to cover my mouth, and to stay at home if I'm feeling sick, right? Like like do those things. And besides that, like if you need to unplug, don't feel bad about just turn everything off.
No, that's awesome. I really believe that during this time, as believers, we have a chance to, in a lot of ways, maybe some of us for the first time, like put our faith into practice.
Yeah, you know, like, absolutely.
And to show our neighbors, to show the world around us, like, hey, I mean, I'm going to be responsible, and I'm going to be like, I'm going to do what they're telling me to do, but I'm also like going to fully trust that like God's got me. He's in control. And I don't know what that looks like. I don't know. I realize that that's can be terrifying, but I'm going to trust him through it, you know. And so I think it's good, like staying grounded in the word, making sure, especially, you know, for some of us, or who knows, maybe all of us at some point, we're quarantined in our homes. And it's easy to just like put on Netflix or whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe get out of our normal Bible reading routine or whatever.
Yeah.
Or out of our normal community circles, and that over time can just be detrimental. So make sure we're staying grounded in that, staying connected. So
being productive with the time, I mean, redeem the time. It's this is an opportunity somewhere. You just got to find it. Maybe for you, it's you've been really wanting to learn and grow a lot, and man, you're quarantined to your house, so grab Grudem's Systematic Theology and start working through that bad boy. Grab some books by A.W. Tozer.
Yeah, or go to our Grow page on the website, and we got a bunch of book suggestions.
Tons of good stuff,
And all that. So, well, good, man. So I'm excited. So I'm sure we'll be doing more of these in the coming weeks as things progress. But for now, we will hopefully this was helpful, and hopefully it's encouraging for all of you. And just know that we are praying for you. If you guys need anything, if you need prayer, if you need, man, just support any way, you need to talk to somebody, go to our website, you know, give us a call. Our phone number's on there. Shoot us an email, whatever it is. We'd love to help you out. Hit us up on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to just, you know, continue to be a church family, even though we physically can't be together right now. And with that, we will see you guys Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Put your Sunday best on. post up in the living room.
In hashtag, we need to come up with a cool hashtag for this. Hashtag,
I don't know.
I just put you on the spot.
Downtown Couch Church. Dude, I feel pretty good about that. On the spot.
That's decent.
All right.
All right. We love you guys. We're praying for you. Let us know if there's anything we can do to serve you.